comes to religious authority in association with religious institutions. Jesus never tried to install a religious government that would override prophecy. He understood his role as the Son of God and how God is able to deliver us and keep us during times of temptation. Pastor Polite continues the message of liberation and holiness in part 2 of volume 1 of the Ready series. Now let's listen as Pastor Polite delivers the word of God.
Help them understand prophetically that certain things was not going to happen because it was written. He said it right here in verse number 24. And he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. Y'all see that right there? No prophet is acceptable in his hometown. And I said that early in the message tonight, that we don't transparency is what it is. We can be transparent with pastors, but then we also got to be able to be distant, because why? You don't want to get to a place where folk disrespect you. Come on, neighbor. Familiarity, my wife said, do it, breed content. Right? Familiarity breed content. You know, people get too close to you that they forget that you're full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, amen. But Jesus was trying to help them understand that this thing right here, that, you know, I noticed that by my own neighborhood, in my own, come on, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all don't got saved for the Holy Ghost? You moved to the other side of town, but you go to the side of town that you grew up in. Come on, neighbor, and watch how folk talk to you. Watch how folk communicate. They're not going to disrespect you up front. They're not going to, but they won't follow you. Come on, neighbor. Many of them won't follow you. Many of them won't hang out with you. Many of them won't. Come on, neighbor. Not if they're trying to change.
Yeah.
But you can go to a whole nother city, a whole nother side of town. You begin to tell people about Jesus, and they throw their hands up and say, man, I want to go to church.
Yeah.
Come on, amen. But your cup partner, your buddy, your person you hung with, you got drunk with, the person you smoked with, the folk you went to the club with, you try to minister to them, they won't come. For some people, now that ain't for everybody, but for some people, they won't come. That's because they become too close to you. Amen. They think they know you too much. Come on, amen. And Jesus began to say something to them before they got too close. You know, or thought they were too close. Jesus said this right here. He said, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. And when the heavens, because now he just got to reading out of a prophetic book. Is that right? He said, and when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. Y'all see that? So what Jesus did, he excluded the necessity of a man figure to try to be the protector and the supplier in this particular case. And he gave him an example of a widow who was a woman whose husband had died, and she was without help, and she could only trust God to bring her supplies. He brought it to that point. He used that as one example, because why? Everybody up in there were none but men. Come on now, I'm talking in the synagogue. Majority of them were none but men. Then it said in verse 22, and there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. That's a slap in the face right there. You know why? You know why? Because the Syrians were the enemy. The Syrians were the enemy, and here's the thing. And Naaman was one of the soldiers that was lead soldier in the Syrian army. And the Syrians did some major harm to the Israelite people. Come on. And Jesus would use that analogy. Why would you use that analogy to the people that you were in church with? Come on, neighbor. Why would you use that analogy to these folk after they got through celebrating you and saying that you spoke so well, saying you read those scriptures so nicely? Why would you say that about the widow and say that he only sent it? He didn't send it to none of my people, but he sent it to Zarephath and to that widow. Come on, and Sidon. Why Sidon? Out of all places, Jesus, why would you say Sidon? Come on, amen. Why would you say Sidon? And then out of all places, God, why Christ, Joseph's son, why would you talk about Naaman the Syrian? These people did us much harm. And when he said that, verse 28, this is what they did. All in the synagogue were filled with wrath. They were upset, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to throw him off the side of the mountain. Jesus, they got hot. Come on, amen. Now let me explain something. Let's share this about this area of why they would get so. For first of all, they wasn't filled with the Spirit, so that's one of the reasons why they would want to kill a man right after he got to speaking a prophetic word in the synagogue. Come on, you got to be full of the devil to want to do that. Amen. And then secondarily, if you go to Judges chapter one, you'll find out that in the Judges. And if you read, you go to verse number 29, read it right here. These were the areas. Now, these are mixed, blended African communities, Canaanite landscapes. Come on, amen. Of people that Israelites could not push out. They couldn't push out. Come on. They were defeated, or they had to live among them. They blended with them. They began to worship their idols. All of these particular people, God told them to push them out, take over the land, because the people they was pushing out were idol worshipers. Mm-hmm. And it's a big read, so I'm not going to read all of them. I'm going to get to the point. But look at verse 29, Judges chapter 1, verse 29 says, "And Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Giza, so the Canaanites lived in Giza among them." You see that right there? That's why I tell people the ethnic blending was real.
Yeah.
Come on, neighbor. The ethnic blending was real. So then it said right here in verse number 30, Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. These are all the children of Israel. Or the inhabitants of Nahalal. No, so the Canaanites lived among them, but became subject to forced labor. Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon. Did y'all see that? Or of Alab, or of Akzib, or of Helba, or of Aphek, or of Rehob. So the Asherites lived among the Canaanites. And see that right there? Sidon. Did y'all hear the word Sidon? Mm-hmm. Amen. Sidonians. The Sidon, come on, as a Canaanite, is Canaanite people. And Jesus will refer to a widow who was a Sidon. That's why they got so pissed off. They're like, why would he use that as an example? Come on, neighbor, in regards to talking to us in our synagogue.
Yeah.
What would cause them to want to say something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were hot. They were mad. And then here's the thing about that. So when you look at the text, and if you go to Matthew chapter 2, this is the chapter that's going to be read in churches all over the world, Matthew chapter 2 on Sunday. Amen. In some places, on Christmas Eve, it's going to be read too. But in Matthew chapter 2, it tells you the story of Jesus in Bethlehem. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus in Bethlehem, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold," you talk about the wise man. I'm not going to read all of it because you know it's a long read. It said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. But watch this, neighbor. I want you to see this right here. They had the king. Their king was Herod, who they already had a king. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this. Verse 3 said, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled." Now watch this, y'all. "And all Jerusalem with him." Now why would Jerusalem be troubled with their wicked king? If they living right, they ain't got no problem to be disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, right? He was troubled. And then the whole Jerusalem was trouble. Now we talk about Jerusalem was trouble. And I want you to see something with that too. It's because of the fact that God was directing the steps of Joseph and Mary. But you got to remember this, that in directing their steps, I always like to deal with, y'all know I like to deal with historical backgrounds, geographical backgrounds, ethnicity. I'm going to tell you the truth. Come on, I'm going to put it out there. And one of the things that stuck out to me too is that Jesus had spent some time in other places and other regions. Basically, they were running for their life. They were running for their life in concern to this King Herod. Look at the text. I want you to show it right here. Look at verse number. You don't believe it? Look at verse number 11. "And going into the house, they saw the child," talking about the wise men and all of them that came. And the Bible says, "And they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts," talking about to Jesus, the baby. "They came in and saw the baby in the manger, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned in a dream," "not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Because why? Herod had told the wise man, "When you find this new king, come back and tell me, so I can go and worship him too." He didn't want to worship Jesus. He didn't want to worship Yahshua, the baby. He wanted to kill the baby.
That's right.
So well, guess what? God warned the wise men in the dream, watch this, neighbor. And the Bible says, verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to where?
Egypt.
He said, flee to Egypt. Egypt. Yes, Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. Y'all know that it took some time for Herod to die. So that means that Jesus, the baby Jesus, was in Egypt for a long time.
Yeah.
Come on, amen. Some time had went by, and for Jesus to hide in Egypt, that has to let you know that there was some pigmentation in his skin. For him to get away and be hidden, y'all don't think that Herod might have thought that he was in Egypt? Y'all don't think that Herod might have thought that he was in the outskirts? In other words, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph became a refugee.
Amen.
They became a refugee. Come on, neighbor. Come on, was a refugee. It's somebody fleeing from their land to another land because of a war or threat for their life. Or you know, that's what a refugee is. Come on, neighbor. And even Jesus, that's why he said he came. He was anointed. Come on, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Come on, to do what? To deal with the poor. To set the captives what? Free. Because he understood what it meant to be poor. Well, even he understood what it meant. What? I know he heard the story. We had to run. We had to go to Egypt. We had to get up out of here because Herod was trying to kill you, baby. Come on, amen. He had to hear the story. And if you read on, you even find in the text that even after the fact, but in verse 19, it said, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. Now, watch this, too. I want you to see this right here. You can write this down. Please write this down if you like. I want you to see this. When the angel of the Lord told them to go back, right? It's time for you to go back. Look, watch what happens here. But when he heard that Archelaus, talking about Joseph, was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, so the son of Herod was reigning as a king then, he was afraid to go there. Y'all see that? And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Right? So by the fear of one man, talk about Joseph, right? Not willing to believe or trust the angel of God to go tell him to go to Israel. Come on, neighbor. He had to grow up in Nazareth. But it all fitted with Scripture. The Scripture had to be what could not be broken, and it had to be fulfilled. So God, even in our doubt, come on, neighbor. Even through our faith and doubt, even through people say, "Well, I blew it." So some of y'all on here tonight, you might be thinking, "Look, the pastor, I blew it. I messed up. Whatever." Come on, God can use all that. Come on, everything we're going through, he can use your fear. So what we think, and that's what carnality and sometimes the flesh do to us and sin do to us, it makes us think that, man, but I don't blew it. God already knew you was going to blew it.
Yeah.
God already knew our life was jacked up. Come on, neighbor. God already knew what we was going to do. Come on, before we was even born, he knew this day, last week, last year. Come on, next week, what we going to do. It don't surprise God when we mess up.
Amen.
Come on, it might surprise us, but it don't surprise God. That's why the Bible says, he drew us with loving kindness.
Yeah.
Amen. He didn't draw us with a steel rod and a metal beam. Come on, neighbor. He drew us with loving kindness. Amen. So when it comes to Joseph, even through his fear, 2 Timothy 1:7 said it this way, and this is for us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
That's right.
Come on, amen. So if God said it, come on, God told you to do it, you ain't got nothing to be fearful for.
Amen.
God assigned you to, even the church you at, for those who may be assigned to a good church. I'm talking about a good church now. It don't matter about the signs. It don't matter about, you know, you may have some confrontations and some disagreements with people. Don't you give up. Don't you give up your assignment and your connection to a ministry just because, you know, you're going through a phase of immaturity or somebody you ran into was immature. Mm-hmm. Come on, neighbor. And for that moment, some people can be immature for a moment, but that don't mean they're immature for a lifetime.
Amen. Amen.
Come on. Don't you miss your assignment off of immaturity for a moment.
Right. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Come on, is that right? And through all of that, God can still use that to put us where we need to be.
Amen.
Come on, amen. Praise God. I want you to see something here, and I got to stop because I know this is going to get good. I got a lot, but I got to finish this message later. But look what it says in Luke. Look at the book of Luke. Luke real quickly. Luke chapter 10, and it justifies, or rather it signifies what Christ was saying, even to the point of dealing with what the Jewish people had become. He said in Luke chapter 10, verse number 13, Jesus said what? He said, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, what? Bethsaida, for the mighty works done in you have been done in Tyre and here it is again, and Sidon. They would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. Y'all see that? So why would the Lord want to bring that type of mercy to the very same people that they were trying to push out of the land? God always wanted a blended community. God always wanted to have various all ethnic groups worshiping him. God's not just caught up in trying to find one group of people, one ethnic group. We are the human race.
Yes.
Come on. There's only one human race.
Amen.
Right. Is that right? And sometimes, and I believe even when it comes to churches likened to our own and other similar churches, people actually having faith to trust God. If Sodom and Gomorrah, come on, neighbor, would have had that type of, you know, come on, neighbor, preaching and that they was getting, come on, it might have would have been a different change. Come on, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Or on this particular point, it's gonna be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah,
gonna be worse than Sodom. I'm gonna read y'all this right here, and I'm gonna give y'all a snippet of just how the ideologies and the acceptance of certain things, the negative, on a negative sense. Since we get to this point of Christmas, I want people to be able to when you're looking at the programs and you're looking at what people present across TV, remember, Yahshua was from a blended ethnicity. He was a man with pigmentation, but he loved all people. He was rich in heaven. He was rich, but in earth he became poor that he might reach the poor, right? Poor in spirit, come on, poor in finances, poor in folk that were distant from God, distant from eternity. Y'all feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He became lowly that he might. That we might receive him. So the point is, when man tries to recreate Christ in a sense of if he is something that he's not, people that gravitate to the wrong ideology, the wrong idea, can in many cases bring about a disbelief, a lack of faith when we try to express how, you know, the power of Christ and what God has done, even in our own life. Why do so many Christians struggle today? Why do so many believers not, and I may be bringing this from the perspective of an African American based ministry and church, but why do so many folks struggle, you know, and even in our communities, and why do the news stations show the certain people who are always shooting it? Do y'all know that certain people not killing each other all the time? There's people riding around, man, from other communities. There's a man that came from all the way across. He crossed over 3-4 different states, man, to go all the way up there to Buffalo, New York, to kill some people in the supermarket.
Yeah.
Come on, amen. And people, hey man, it's black on black crime, man. I keep telling people all the time, man, them ain't all the same people. Them ain't the people in the same. How many of y'all know people in your own community riding around killing everybody in your community?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you ever grew up and knew, you know, you knew Sally, you knew Johnny Boy, you knew Pookie, you knew Ray Ray. Now some of them had some problems, some of them might have hurt some people, but they wasn't no one person riding around trying to kill all y'all. Come on, that don't make sense. And then you don't think nobody ain't gonna tell on that joker? Come on, amen. It don't sound right. Come on, listen, now you're in a project somewhere and everybody thinking the same way and everybody out to get what they can get, and they, you know, it's a doggy dog world. Now, you know, that's a whole different story, but you know, you're in a productive community. Everybody ain't riding around trying to kill each other. Come on, amen. Unless you're going down the hole and you're trying to buy drugs and all that, you're gonna get what you went in there for.
Yep.
You know, you're gonna get what you went in there for. You know, what I don't know how this happened to them. Well, I can tell you how it happened. It was going down to the bag of weed. That's what happened. You know, they was going down to the back crack. That's whatever they was going to buy, and they just got caught up in the crossfire. That's how it happened. You got robbed. They got carjacked. You know, so you're in that environment. You know, where you know you can live somewhere for 30 years and nothing ever happened. Right around the corner from where the crime at. Depending on where you, who you hang with, where you put yourself. Come on, neighbor. That's in every city.
Amen.
That's in every city. Come on, amen. But so people can change, communities can change. The thing is that people just got to want to change. But when it comes to, and I was going to read this piece, but it's going to take too long. I got to stop. But let me close by saying this, that in any case, for the ministries is out there, pastors is out there, our covenant partners is out there listening today. Man, join us, you know, connect with us. You know, the tools we have right now, I want to represent Christ after the 25th. I want to be able to, after this fast, I just read to you a portion of Luke 4 and getting part of that chapter.
Thank you for listening to the PowerCast with Pastor Todd Polite. This concludes Volume 1, Part 2 of Liberation and Holiness in Part of the Ready series. Stay tuned for our next episode.